going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
Hey, welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show on a Friday. We got lots of good stuff still to go this morning, including our big Queen of Hearts drawing to benefit Guns and Hoses. We'll have that for you here coming up in the next segment, because that is absolutely something we're thrilled to be part of down here. You know, we love supporting our first responders, and we try to do that. This is something that's going to be going on all year, and we are the exclusive partner, which is fantastic. Exclusive radio partner, I should say. So we're thrilled that we can do that. So welcome back. We're going to get to all that for you coming up in just a few minutes. But right now, I want to introduce my guest. He is the Republican senator in Missouri from District 15, David Gregory. And great to get him back on the phone. Senator, thank you for giving us a few minutes this morning.
Thanks for having me.
We're down to the wire, my friend. What are we going to get done in the Missouri legislature this year?
That's exactly right. So for most of the folks listening, I know they know this, but our session is part-time. So we're January to May 17th. And if we don't get it done by May 17th, we got to start back over next year. And so that puts us just 3 weeks out from getting these things done. But do note, 3 weeks does sound like we're down to the wire. It really does. But if you look at the history of passing bills, the vast majority of them get passed in the last 2 weeks, even last week, as we rush to the finish line. So I'm not worried. Nonetheless, we are super focused because we've got some big issues we've got to get across the finish line.
Yeah, we do. Now, we've already had some filibustering going on with the Democrats, right?
Oh, yeah. There's been quite a few filibusters. I feel like there's been a filibuster almost every week. This is my first year in the Senate. But nonetheless, it's okay. That's part of the system that that we designed. But here's the deal. We're going to beat it. We have some strong plans. Some of them are still confidential. We've got some very hopeful and strong plans to beat this and get the key issues, right? The key issues across the finish line. We've got to get fixed Amendment 3. We've got that. And then, of course, we've got this minimum wage debacle that we've got to fix as well.
So specifically on the minimum wage, I mean, I know the issue has been here that it wouldn't stop the minimum wage from going up, but it would affect the cost of living adjustments each year, correct?
Oh, yeah. And not only that, the other biggest crushing blow to our small businesses is that there's a required paid time off. Mm-hmm. So right now, you get 1 hour for every 32 hours work. You've got to give someone, even a small business, you got to pay your employees to take time off. That's crippling, even if they're part-time in some situations. So it's very harmful, and we've got to fix it.
You know, I've heard the argument from people, even when we've been talking to Illinois lawmakers about, you know, why do these lawmakers wait until the very end of a session to try to get all these big bills passed? Why not try to tackle these right from the starting gate? How would you respond to that? Give us some insight.
Yeah, you know, it depends. I know I haven't been privy to the leadership discussions, but it seems like what they're trying to do is in good faith work with the Democrats and good faith work with other Republicans and make sure everyone's heard, give it plenty of time to be debated, plenty of time to be kicked around, negotiated, so all parties, small businesses, everyone involved can be heard. And so instead of rushing through a solution immediately, we're doing that. But now as we get near the end, we may not have a choice. We're going to have to pick it up and run with it.
Pick it up and run with it. Like, how about exercising the PQ? I mean, I know that they tend to do that more over on the House side, but the Senate has seemed really reluctant in past sessions to go with the nuclear option. And if we need to get Amendment 3 passed, or we need to revise these overtime time off restrictions that were passed, why not just drop the PQ and get it over with? Because you have the supermajority.
Yeah, so like you said, the PQ is possible, but it is the nuclear option. And the reason it's referred to that is because then it's over. After that, it's all chaos. So the PQ is, in my opinion, something that should be very limited and as a last resort. And that's what I'm hoping leadership's looking to do. That's certainly what I would hope to be doing. We will use it when necessary, but we hope to use it only when absolutely necessary after all other options have been exhausted.
Yeah, but I mean, you're never going to get the Democrats to agree to another version of Amendment 3, are you?
No, and so I don't know what the plan is, but I'm game. You know, rarely do I ever want to use the PQ, but in times like that, I'm willing to.
Yeah, and just so people know that it all it does is it requires a certain number of you to sign a piece of paper that refers back to the previous question, and that cuts off debate. Am I right?
That's exactly right. All it does is end debate and takes it to a vote, whereas in a Senate filibuster, debate has never ended and can theoretically go until the end of session. If the Democrats organize well, they could debate all the way to the finish line and kill everything, not just A3 and minimum wage, but everything else.
One of the stories I've been reporting on this morning was this fiery debate that was sparked over this bill in Missouri that would raise the marriage age from 16 to 18. Now, I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but I guess some people are nervous, some conservative lawmakers are nervous that would increase the number of abortions. Where do you stand on that? And do you think it will pass?
Yeah, see, that's a tough one. It hasn't hit the floor for debate. It wasn't heard in any of the committees I sit on. So I have not been privy to a lot of the arguments for and against, but I do think that that's a key concern. I mean, I don't have anything, I don't think there's anything wrong organically with making the legal age 18, but at the same time, I don't want to promote abortion. So the answer is, I don't know. I don't have a position on that yet, but I will be well-studied, and I'll certainly be intently listening during debate to make my decision.
Yeah, Senator David Gregory, our guest. Now, you had a couple of bills that you and I talked about early in the session, one including on illegal immigration and how to deal with illegal aliens in the state. Has that gone anywhere?
No, I mean, I've gotten the commitment from the committee that they are a yes vote, it will pass out. However, given that it is a hot topic, my strategy is to make sure I see a successful pathway before I make people take votes like that. And so I'm still looking to see, can it get through the House of Representatives? It seems like it doesn't have a strong appetite from our current speaker, wow, which is unfortunate, but nonetheless, that's okay. I'm working with them. I think they just don't understand. As soon as anyone understands what the bill actually does, they're very supportive. So, you know, we're looking for a pathway before I push those types of tough votes onto my caucus.
Yeah. You know, my biggest disappointment, I'd have to say, from this session is simply the fact that there was a lot of talk about maybe either bringing up IP reform again and or reducing the state income tax, if not eliminating it at some point. Neither one of those is going to make it to the end of session this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I'd be careful with IP reform. Now we're pushing it to the ballot box, and so we got to be careful how strong or how difficult we make it, especially if we go for an A3 fix.
Right.
That wouldn't be an IP, but it's similar. And so then do you bifurcate and make what the legislature puts before the people, a different standard than that of the IP. I don't know. Tough call. I would say that's probably not one of the absolute top priorities, but I mean, look, as soon as we get this Amendment 3 thing fixed, IP reform has got to get done. It is a key issue for us protecting ourselves.
Yeah, we're an easy mark for out-of-state interest, for sure. Senator exactly. Gregory, thank you for your time this morning.
Yes, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, we'll talk again soon. Senator David Gregory there from District 15. So, yeah, super majorities in other states tend to rule with an iron fist, and they push through their priorities. And in Missouri, we wait till the last week, and then the Democrats threaten to filibuster us, and we tend not to be as effective as we could be. I'd PQ every darn thing they brought to me, and I would pass it all.
So Florida has a supermajority for conservatives, right?
I believe so.
I feel like whenever I think of the ruling with an iron fist, that's the state that comes to mind. Just how maybe it's just Ron DeSantis is who I'm thinking of, and how effective he's been as governor.
I agree, and I wasn't even thinking of it in terms of Republican or Democrat. In states where the Democrats have a supermajority, like in Illinois, they do whatever the hell they want.
True.
They ban mascots California. That have been around for 100 years. They don't care. They do what their priority list, what their voters sent them there to do. So I'm just pointed in general here at the legislature, but I just see this attempt to be nice can only go too far if you're going to really get anything accomplished in some cases, for sure. All right, coming up, we'll get to our Queen of Hearts drawing. We're fortunate enough to be the radio partner for our friends at Guns and Hoses, and they do this every week. We'll get to all that for you coming up next on the Mark Cox Morning Show. My heart.